my first love. Good morning. My name is Kevin Harris. I'm the pastoral care pastor here, and I also have the pleasure with my wife, leading the Hispanic ministry here at City on a Hill. However, I promise I will not preach in Spanish today. Is that okay? Can I do it in English for you guys that work for you? It is a pleasure to be here at City on a Hill and to serve with this family. We love this church. We love the family that we have built here over the last year that we've been attending. It is a blessing. Boy, my heart breaks for Baton Rouge, for the devastation that's there. I can't imagine. I can't even imagine what I would do if something like that happened to my family, to my home. We would be nowhere if that happens. So, it's a blessing to me that we as a church can pour out the love of God on a family. I mean, we can't help everybody, but we can help one family. We thank you for, as a church, for helping to make that possible. It's a difficult thing, but we know that we live in a fallen world and bad things happen, and we know that in spite of the bad things that happen, God still loves his people, doesn't he? And that's what we're talking about today. God's love never fails. But I wanted to kind of, this is my first time to speak here at City on a Hill, and I wanted to kind of give you a chance to get to know me and a little bit about my lovely bride, Olga. So I wanted to tell you a story. If you can bear with a few more sappy stories about love, okay? We'll just get that out there, okay? So when I met Olga, I was typical young man in love. We were young seminary students, both going to school, and she caught my eye, okay? And I think I caught hers too, just at the right time. So I went out of my way to court her, okay? Now, youth, courting means kind of like I wanted to date her. Okay, so I began to work out a way that I could get her attention. Okay, I wanted her eye on me like I had my eye on her, right? Okay, does that make sense? So that's what I mean when I talk about courting, and we'll use that word again, so just remember. See, I wanted to show her that I cared, okay? So Olga was going through a particularly rough patch in her life, dealing with some of the biggest hurts and hang-ups that she had in her life. And, just like we do here at City on a Hill, she was trying to work that out and make sense of it and get healthy through that process. And I decided it was my job to help her out. Okay? See, I saw an opportunity. Okay, I saw an opportunity to be her encouragement, and I took my role seriously in encouraging her. So, you know what? Dr. Kevin had the right prescription, okay? Right. I read scripture to her. Now, I know that sounds weird, but what else is a young seminary student to do when he's trying to gain the affections of his lady love, right? So I knew that we had a short period of time. We had about two and a half months, then she was going to be heading to Venezuela for a period of time. She's from South America, so she was going home to see her family. And I knew that we were going to have this time apart. So we had an intense period of courtship, dating over the summertime, where we spent a lot of time together, long hours talking with each other. I knew that I wasn't going to get to see her. I would not get to spend those long hours with her. See, this was in TBC. Now, we call that time before cell phones, okay? There, we had no cell phones. They existed, but they were expensive. We couldn't afford them, right? So there was only limited internet, you know, dial-up, slow, you know, boop, shh, while you wait for it to connect. There was no Skype. There was no FaceTime. There was no unlimited long distance, okay, pay by the minute long distance, no Facebook, no way to communicate, no chatting with each other. I don't think she even had an email address. So, you know, this was the ancient times, okay? So I knew that I had to figure out a way. I had to figure out a way to stay connected and keep her in my grips while she was away, okay? So what I did was I recorded myself reading the scripture on cassette tape, right? Okay? And because we would spend a lot of time together, I would read the scriptures, and that kind of helped calm and soothe her troubled spirit while she was dealing with these issues. And I wrote out note cards, okay, and letters, and I gave her this pack of stuff to take with her to Venezuela, something she could open up every day and have a little time to connect with me, right? So that was really important, and my hope, oh, my desire, was that somehow I could sustain that love, that connection that we had, right, while she was away. I'm really glad that our story didn't turn out like the other young man who got crossways with his girl and decided that he needed to win her affections back. She wouldn't have a thing to do with him. She wouldn't talk to him. She wouldn't, if they passed on the street, she would cross to the other side. She wouldn't have anything to do with him. But he decided, in his mind, he decided that he was going to win her back, okay? Now, he did this. He decided, I'm going to write her a letter. I'm going to write her a letter every day. So he sat down and he poured out his love. He poured out his affection on the page, right? Poured it out and he stuck it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, handed it to the postman, and away it went, right? And he did this every day. He did this for a time and he didn't hear anything back from her. Okay, so this frustrated him. It frustrated him greatly. So he decided to double his efforts. He wrote two letters to her every day. Still no response, right? Because she wouldn't have anything to do with him. So he doubles his efforts again. Four letters every day, handed them to the postman. Off they went. He never heard anything back. He did this for a long time, just yearning and desiring, desperate for her attentions. And finally, he bumped into a mutual friend on the street. And you know what he learned? She married the postman. Oh my goodness, I'm so glad Olga didn't marry the postman. Thank you, sweetie, for not marrying the postman. I never would have seen her again. Oh my goodness. So, you know, back to Olga. Olga returned to me ahead of schedule. See, she really couldn't stand to be away from me. Now, the truth is, I couldn't stand to be away from her. The feeling was mutual. We soon engaged. We were married not long after. End of this year, we will have been married 22 years. Thank you, sweetie, for putting up with me all these years. I appreciate that. So, yo también, mi vida. So, women, love makes us men go to great lengths, does it not? We want to gain your attention. We want to gain the attention of our ladies, right? Okay, but, you know, we've had a lot, honestly, this is not Valentine's Day weekend. We're not going to focus on romantic love today. We're really not talking about romantic love at all. We're talking about God's love for us, okay? Can you imagine how much God loves us? You know, and God's love for us is different than the love we have for each other, right? It's very different. You know, we love each other for better or worse until we see what worse looks like, and then some of us head for the hills, right? I'm not sure I want that kind of worse. Thank goodness some of us stick it out. God does not desert us. God does not head for the hills when times get tough. God sees us in our wretched condition, and he loves us enough to reach down and catch us up out of that difficult state and save us and redeem us. God calls us to come as we are, not to stay as we are, right? We at City on a Hill really understand that. We get that. We love you. We want you to come as you are, but we love you too much to let you stay as you are, right? And we openly admit that we're all a work in progress. Ain't nobody perfect around here. We all got a little bit more work to do because we're all trying hard to become more like Christ. Okay? And that's it. That's our job. Rise up. Be who God wants you to be. Fill up on a different kind of love, God's love. Your God's love fills us up and overflows us and spreads it around, shares it with the world, right? That's the goal that we're working for here. God set us apart. God put City on a Hill right here in East Fort Worth for a reason, and God put you right here at City on a Hill for a reason. Okay, if you don't know what that reason is, then you've got a job to do. Figure it out. Work on it. Are you doing it already? Do you know what kind of job it is? Are you up to the job? If you don't know, it's time to find out. Okay? Talk to Emma. Talk to Kyle in children's ministry. Children's ministry is like a gateway drug for service. Okay? Find a place to plug in. Find a place to serve. Okay? That's how you work it out. Okay? You work it out up here, you work it out in here, and then you work it out right here in your hands. Get your hands to work. Okay? Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 136. We're going to start there. I wanted to keep this along with our Summer in the Psalms series. So we're going to focus on the Old Testament on Psalm 136 in the Psalm of Gratitude. Now, there are some things I want to draw your attention to in this psalm. So David is thanking God for several characteristics about God. You know, and I'm gonna hit these fast. We're not gonna read it all out. I'm gonna hit these fast, and you see if you can pick them out as I read them. He thanks God for who he is. He thanks God for what he does. Okay, he thanks God for what he made. He looks back into history and thanks God for some of his great actions that he did on behalf of Israel. He thanks God for leading his people, for protecting his people, for providing a heritage. Okay? He thanks God for remembering his people when they're in times of trouble. Okay? Yes, trouble came. God is in control, but that doesn't mean trouble will stay out of your life. And God remembers you in your times of trouble. Okay? He thanks God for rescuing his people. When you get into trouble, God has a plan to get you out. Sometimes it takes some time to work that out in your life. Okay? I know, I've been there. And he thanks God for providing for his people. So that's just a real quick high-level overview of Psalm 136. But we missed something. Anybody see something there that we missed? Every other line. Why did God do this? Why did God do all of these things? Because he loved his people, the Israelites. God had an affection for this group of people, and he poured his love out on them. I've only talked about half of the psalm. The rest of it is God's love never fails. Okay? If you look in the NIV, his love endures forever. If you've got the New Living Testament, his faithful love endures forever. ESV, for his steadfast love endures forever. NASB, one of my favorites, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Okay? Contemporary English Version, one of my favorites for this particular psalm is God's love never fails. If you look back at the Hebrew, the sentence literally reads, Chesed Olam. That's all it says, Chesed Olam. Hesed is one of the richest words in the Old Testament. It talks about the characteristics of God. Hesed love is mercy, kindness, loving kindness, goodness, goodliness. And it has an element of pity and reproach. Okay, God not only loves us, he pities us in our wretched condition enough to reach down and grasp us out of that. Okay, this word expresses the very character of God. Okay, Olam is long-lasting, everlasting, perpetual, unending. This word is like that bunny commercial, that battery commercial on TV with the bunny. It just keeps on going and going and going. That's Olam. Except God kind of outlasts the bunny, the battery, right? God has the ability to keep on going. The theme here is that God loves his people. And here's, he loved them then. He loved the Israelites back then when he created them, when he set apart this group of people under the patriarchy of Abraham. He loves them now, believe it or not. He still loves his people. And he will continue to love his people and still continues to rescue them out of their wretched state. But here's the good news. We're grafted into the family by adoption. Okay, we're grafted into the family by the work that Jesus Christ completed on the cross, by the blood he shed. He takes each one of us and calls us his own and pulls us into the family. Our adoption papers are signed, sealed, and delivered. There's nobody in the universe, no entity in the universe that can question our position in the family of God. Okay, we all get the benefits of God's unending and everlasting love. So I can say not only God loved his people, but God loved you. Okay? Psalm 136 is the Old Testament chapter on love. God loves his people. In 1 Corinthians 13, we see a New Testament version of the chapter of love. Only this time it's written to a specific church. Okay? Paul's message is to the church at Corinth. Now, we all love 1 Corinthians 13. It's a great chapter on love. It's got some great words to live by, does it not? But this message was not a message for couples in love. It was not a message for families. It was not an artistic print to hang on the wall. How many of you have that in your home? Love is patient, love is kind. Right? I have one hanging in my house, or did at one point. I don't know if it's still there or not. I did see one in the kitchen this morning, over here in the kitchen. Saw one hanging on the door, and I said, there it is. Love is patient, love is kind. This message, now while it serves good in all those purposes in helping us remember as families how to love each other, this was a corrective message for the church at Corinth. Also a corrective message for us in the church today, okay? Now the church, and this message is sometimes forgotten in churches, is it not? Sometimes we see a lack of love in churches. How many of you can relate to that? How many of y'all got PTCD? Post-traumatic church disorder. Okay? How many of that led y'all here? That's why I'm here. I call it, I lovingly call it church shenanigans. Okay? Sometimes that happens today. And we don't necessarily have that problem right here at City on a Hill, not currently that I'm aware of. Okay? And the reason is, you know what? You need to know this. All churches have problems, at least the ones that got people in them. Right? And why is that? We live in a fallen world, right? What do we say? Hurt people, hurt people, hurt people, right? So that's one of the reasons, James and the leadership so many years ago decided, you know, we don't want to be one of those churches. We got to figure out how to help those hurt people get better, okay? We want for each one of you to get over your hurts and your hang-ups and to become a more well-adjusted, Christ-like follower, dealing with your pain and dealing with other people in a healthy manner. So that's why we believe healthier people make for a healthier church. Isn't that true? Okay. So let's look back at the city of Corinth. Corinth was very similar to America today. Okay, they had a lot of problems and issues. You could see that they had very little love for each other. They had a very self-centered focus. They had a lopsided emphasis on sex and sexual gratification. Do we not have that in the U.S. today? Okay. They also had a proliferation of free thought that did not have any foundation in biblical principles. We can see that today too, right? And so what happened was we saw the society of Corinth beginning to influence the church of Corinth. Is that the right way around? No. We want to see the church influencing the society, not the society influencing the church, right? So what we had a church that was in trouble with a capital T, okay? They were impatient with each other. Does that work in church? They were envious of each other's spiritual gifts, okay? So at this time they had people speaking in tongues and people with prophecy, and they had people with no gifts, and they were looking around at each other and saying, man, I wish I could prophesy like Josiah over there. He's really good at it. Okay, so they were envious of each other. They were very prideful and arrogant of what they had. They were also competing for position at the communion table. Okay, can you imagine somebody saying, well, you know, I make six figures, so I should really be first in line at the communion table, right? And that's just not right, okay? We all come before the Lord equal. It doesn't matter what we have. It doesn't matter the gifts that we have. It doesn't matter what we bring to the table, because it's not about us. The table is about the Lord and what He does for us, right? Okay, so let's begin in 1 Corinthians 13, we'll read the first three verses. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, I'm not going to beat on the cymbal, but imagine if I sat up here and I clang the cymbal so loud that some of you had to get up and leave the room. Okay, that's the clanging cymbal. Okay? My wife would be the first one out the door. So, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Okay? What Paul is saying here is anything we do without love is worthless. Anything we do without love is a waste of time. Okay? And what's the opposite of love? Hate. Okay? Sometimes it's selfishness. Love of self is the same as hate, isn't it? If you love yourself more than you love your brother, you hate your brother. Okay? Now, what does hate look like? I sat and I thought about this, and I thought, you know, Westboro Baptist Church. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. Westboro Baptist is not one of us, not one of ours. It's an unaffiliated independent Baptist church. They've gone their own way. Recognized globally with a message of hate, homophobia, anti-Semitism, anti-militarism. They're basically a hate group, okay? Operating as a church, okay? They go to these highly publicized events and hold up these posters that says God hates gays, okay? Now, let me just be clear. God does not hate gays. Okay? God loves homosexuals, heterosexuals, pansexuals, the transgender. God loves them just like he loves alcoholics and drug addicts and prostitutes and pimps and pornographers. God loves sinners just like you, just like me. And His greatest desire for them is to grasp them up out of their wretched condition and change them. God loves any of us who are willing to admit that we're sinners, willing to give up our sin and to allow Him to begin healing our biggest hurts and hang-ups in our life. Allowing Him to transform us into the perfect image of Christ-likeness. Okay? Some of you guys look like deer in headlights. Did He really just go there? Yes, He did. Yes, He did. See, God, and I said this, God wants to catch people up and change them for the better. Okay? No matter what that condition is. So let's talk about love again. Let's focus on love. Love is not, we see in 1 Corinthians 1 through 3 what Paul is saying. He's saying what love is not. He's saying we can perform an act of love without being loving, and that's wasting time and energy, right? It doesn't matter our abilities, our gifts, our knowledge, if we're generous or not, how much we put in the offering plate. If you do it without love, it's a waste, okay? Now, here's the thing. Love enriches everything it touches. It does not destroy and tear down. It builds up and makes better, right? Don't we all feel better when we have love in our life? That's right. Okay, so let's look at the Greek. You know, we looked at the Hebrew with hesed. Let's look at the Greek for love is agape. Okay, now there are several different words for love in Greek. Agape love is not phileo love. Okay, see, phileo love is a spontaneous natural affection that might come out of something like a friendship. Okay, that's the kind of thing that that I have with Brian Duncan. You know, he's my friend. You know, we like each other. We enjoy spending time together. We enjoy talking. That's a phileo love. It's not a storge love. Storge love is a caring, nurturing love like a parent would have for a child. Okay, that's the kind of love I have for my son. Okay, it's the kind of love that Olga has for our son. Okay, it's also, agape love is also not eros love, which is a passionate love between lovers. Okay, throw that out there. It's not a romantic love, like we've been talking about in the dramas and the stories. It's not this romantic, lofty, unreachable ideal. It's hard to maintain for a long period of time. You know, it's not this this infatuation kind of love. Agape love is an active love. It's not a feeling. It requires deliberate choice, a strong will, measurable results. It's a love of action. Agape love is loving your neighbor, which includes your family, believe it or not, your enemies, chance encounters, guests in the church, even other church members. Okay, that's what Paul's getting at. Love your fellow church members. Love them more than yourself. Agape love seeks to bless. It works on behalf of the other person. Okay? Just like God does with us. Agape love is obeying God's will. All right? Even when God's will makes no sense, we still have to obey it, right? And that's agape love, all right? It's love for the undeserving and unloving. That means even when we know that they're going to disappoint us or reject us, okay, we still go out of our way to love people, okay? It means we bite our tongues when things happen that we don't like or somebody says something that we don't like, okay? Agape love sets the Christian apart. I got to move quickly. We're moving on down the line here. Back in 1 Corinthians, this is the passage that so many of you know and recognize. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. It rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Jesus spoke on love in Luke 6. You don't need to turn there. I'm just gonna throw it out here real quick. What Jesus said was, love your enemies. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, even that one neighbor. Pray for those who hurt you. Turn the other cheek. Offer more than is asked of you. Give to anyone who asks. Do as you would want done to you. lend money without the expectation of getting paid back. Seriously, Lord? He sums it up in verse 35 and 36. Love your enemies and do good. Lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Paul sums it up in Philippians 2, 3 through 4. This has been my life verse for some 35 years. Okay, he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. You know, I remember reading this and thinking, I'm still trying to figure out how to love myself at the age of 15. How can I love others more than I love myself? Okay? So, you know, I'm not perfect. I haven't attained this. I'm still working on it. I'm a work in progress just like everybody else here. Okay? Putting the principles into practice in my life, burying them deep in my heart, and praying that they will fill me up and overflow. The world knows that what love is supposed to look like. They know that we're not being they can tell when we're not being loving, right? They can look at us and see our actions and say, you know, that Christian over there is not being very loving. Okay, he's kind of selfish. You know, man, it's kind of like rubbing your wife's feet. She knows when your heart isn't in it. Women, am I right? It's kind of like, why bother? Get off of me, right? Jonathan Swift, the author of Gulliver's Travels, wrote in another place, he said, we have just enough religion to make us hate, but not enough to make us love one another. Right? You know, I think of Penn Jillette, you know, Penn and Teller, the magic show in Las Vegas. Love that show. Now, Penn Jillette is the talking half of the Penn and Teller show, and he's a well-known atheist, right? He tells the story about when a fan approached him and handed him a New Testament in an act of evangelism. He says, you know, it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist, but he was not defensive. He looked me right in the eyes, Jillette said. And he was truly complimentary. It didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane. He looked me in the eyes and talked to me and then gave me this Bible. Okay, so he could see the respect. He could see the love in this man's action. Jillette went on to say that he doesn't respect believers who don't proselytize. That means share the gospel. Okay, because he sees a disconnect. He says, believers are supposed to be sharing the word of Christ, right? And they're not doing it. So are they really believers? That's what he's doing in his mind. And he goes on to say, how much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? Okay, so that's what the world says when they look at us and see a disconnect, right? Jillette is saying, most Christians are being hateful. I'm saying most Christians don't have agape love. Okay? He's saying we act just like the world. And this is not the way of the Christian, right? The way of the Christian is to let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander to be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. You know, I point to the fruit of the Spirit, okay? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, okay? All of those are rooted in love, okay? Every single one of those is rooted in love, putting others first, okay? Love is the more excellent way. The fruit of the flesh lacks love, okay? Self-centeredness lacks love. Being a Christian means that the Holy Spirit is in you, and that Spirit leads to the development of Christ-like virtues and characteristics just like these that pour out of your life. Why do we call it fruit? Fruit is a visible manifestation, evidence of the Spirit of God, right? That's what fruit is in our life. We walk up to a tree, Walk up to an apple tree, what do you expect to see? Apples. You walk up to a lemon tree, what do you expect to see? Lemons. You walk up to a Christian, what do you expect to see? Fruit of the Spirit. Right? Jesus. You expect to see Christ-likeness pouring out of that person, right? If you're a Christian, you have the Spirit of God within you. But you can still choose to live in the old way. You can still choose to ignore these characteristics. You can still choose to ignore the Spirit of God. And when the world looks at you, at us, if they see no difference, they say, I don't want nothing to do with that. Right? That's a sad state. Christian people are known and recognized for their unity and love for each other and for others, even outside the church. I am slap out of time. Love endures. Love never ends. The scripture says, he says, when I was a child, I acted like a child. I thought like a child. When I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. And basically what Paul is telling the church at Corinth is, you're acting like babies. You're acting like children when you treat each other this way. Grow up. Put away childish things. Love is the greatest. Faith, hope, in the end of the chapter we see faith, hope, and love, but love abides. The greatest of these is love. I didn't read that right, but that's the idea. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Love is the greatest because it's what God gives us. It's what God pours out into our life. Love of God displays generosity, acts of mercy, hospitality, forgiveness, sympathy that weeps for others, rejoicing with others, rejecting criticism, supporting each other by building them up and honoring other people by being kind, forgiving, and encouraging. Let's choose that kind of love. Let's choose to share the love that God gave us with the world that's around us. You know, the greatest words on God's love, John 3:16, you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, so that the world might be saved through him. Okay, so how is God's love impacting your life? How is it impacting the lives of others around you? Okay, does God's love flow out of your life into others? Do you wonder if you even have God's love within you? That's a possibility. I encourage you to examine yourself. If you find yourself lacking, talk to one of our pastors. Talk to me, talk to Derek, talk to Brian, talk to Ann. Take out that care card and mark, I want to talk to a pastor, and put it in the offering basket on your way out. We'd love to talk with you about that and help you explore that and figure out, how can I be more Christ-like? What am I missing? Develop that agape love in you. Let's pray. Lord, I come to you asking you to fill us up and pour us out on the world. Lord, I pray that you would touch the lives of those who need to know you better, those who need to deal with their hurts and hang-ups and figure out how to live more Christ-like. Lord, I pray that you would cover them in your Spirit and that you would draw them to you. Father, I pray that you would allow us to be conduits of your love. Father, I thank you and I praise your holy name. May you go out into the week, be blessed, and carry the love of God with you wherever you go. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Three announcements real quickly. Coming up here very, very soon, August 26th and 27th, that's this coming Friday and Saturday, we're having our Impact Conference. If you haven't signed up for that, do that today. We need to get a head count. We're going to have street tacos Friday night. We're going to have rice, beans, salsa. The whole spread is going to be awesome. It's $5 a person. James is going to be teaching that Friday night. And we're going to hear some testimonies for some people who have been impacted by the ministries here at City on a Hill. And then Saturday, Brian, Chris, and myself will be teaching very short, like 10, 15 minute, almost very little kind of springboard things to get you guys in small groups to talk about how you can begin impacting your neighborhood, your network, so your group of people, whether that's your work or your school or your nest, which is the church here, and how we impact people through the ministries that we do here. And so that's not a leadership conference. That's an everybody come conference. There's going to be a lot of practical teaching there, a lot of interaction. It's going to be a really great time. Food. There'll be breakfast Saturday morning as well. So please come to that. Sign up for that today. You can sign up in the foyer for that. We have, beyond that, new small groups that begin. Our freedom groups normally would begin on the 4th, this coming Sunday. Let me think about that. September 4th, whenever that is. I think it's 2 weeks from now. But that's Labor Day weekend, so we're actually bumping it a weekend. So it'll actually begin on Wednesday the 7th, and the 11th will be when those start. We need teachers. This is the last thing, and this is really important. If you have kids in the kids' building and you've not served, please go today and sign up and serve. We will train you. If you don't feel confident that you know what you're doing, we won't put you in there by yourself. You'll be with somebody that knows and has experience in doing that. But we need help over there. Our kids are worth it, aren't they? Our kids are worth it, and they're learning the Word of God over there. They're learning things that will impact their lives not only right now but for eternity, and what an incredible investment. Like Kevin said, it's sort of the gateway drug of serving, and that's so true. It pulls you in, and you begin to see the impact that you have on these little kids' lives. It's incredible, so please consider doing that. The kids are worth it. So glad that you're here this morning. By the way, Lydia Consuelo Bledsoe was born Thursday, and... Mom and baby are healthy. Some of you are going, Consuelo. Where is that from? So Jessica's Cuban, and that's her grandmother's name, Consuelo. So we named her middle name after her. And so mom and baby are healthy. They'll be here in weeks. Give them time to kind of recover. And but pray for us. I'm running on about an hour of sleep right now. God bless you guys. We'll see you.
Light, I'm around.